Several people signed up to be baptized. And so today we are going to talk about the foundation of being baptized. And we encourage anyone here, if you've never been water baptized, to sign up and take the plunge next week. Amen? All right, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, thank you for New Testament baptism. Lord, thank you for this group you've brought here today. Lord, I thank you that your word becomes life and truth and revelation deep inside of them. Thank you for what you're doing in our hearts and in each person's life that's connected with our River of Life family and our friends. God, we thank you that we see you moving. We see you moving and we hear your praises. In Jesus' name, amen. New Testament baptisms. If you need a message outline, it is in your river update. If you need one of those, the ushers have them. Last Sunday morning, I was talking to Elder Sean, and I said, look at the crowd, because every section was pretty full last Sunday. And people couldn't hear me because everyone was talking, but I'm saying, y'all come back now, you hear? Did you hear me say it? Oh, you were on praise team, yeah. Y'all come back now, you hear? And so several were here last week. Some of them signed up for baptism next week, so we're going to need to follow up on them, pray for them. I'm telling you, you wake up and you see snow on the ground in April, and yeah, if you're not really setting your heart to get to church, you're going to go back to bed. Yeah? It's that human nature in us. And several people are not feeling well. And so I keep pleading the blood over me, praying for our immune system. We're getting ready to go to Kenya. We don't need any of this junk from Elkhart, Indiana to follow us to Kenya. And so please pray for our health and our preparation over the next couple of weeks. So we're going to start out with our first passages in Hebrews 6, verses 1 through 3. And this passage talks about the doctrines of Christ. When we become a Christian, we are to learn the doctrines of Christ. And these are the elementary principles of our faith. So let's read this. Hebrews 6, 1 through 3 says this. Therefore, leaving the discussion of the elementary principles of Christ, let us go on to perfection, not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works and of faith toward God, of the doctrine of baptism, of laying on of hands, of resurrection of the dead, and of eternal judgment. And this we will do if God permits. When we planted the church, we used several different discipleship materials. And back in probably 2003, a group of our elders and some congregation members got together and went through several different series. And we picked this as our discipleship material and biblical foundation series. If you notice in the book of Hebrews, it talks about laying the foundation. The foundation of Christ must be laid in our lives for Christ to be able to build on something. I think Harold checks foundations. He probably could tell us about foundations. If you go out to inspect a foundation and it's not correct, then you can't build anymore, right? You don't get the permit. And it's the same way in our spiritual life. God says right here that we need to know the principles of Christ so that we can go on. God checks our foundation, and then he begins to build on that. Often I've met Christians that have served God for a very long time, but yet they're very frustrated because they don't feel like they're growing in Christ. They don't feel like their spiritual life is moving like it should be. And often I'll tell them they need to go back and check the foundation. Everyone should have an understanding and know the doctrines of Christ. And so that's what this series of books teaches you. They're very simple. There's 12 of them. And this is book number 3. And it's the New Testament baptisms. This book Talks about the four baptisms, including water and the Holy Spirit. And it is $5. And if you've never been through this book, I encourage you to go through it. And I have wrote up an agreement. If you will agree to go through this book and sign your name, then you can have this book free. And this is what the agreement says. One, I commit to be a disciple of Jesus Christ. Two, I will complete the daily devotional studies each day. Three, I will complete the reflection questions and write my answers in the book. Four, I will agree to meet on a weekly basis with another church member who has been through this study. And five, by signing this agreement, I commit to learn God's word and to keep my word. So you can have it free, and it will really bless you. And several people have been through this. We've been using it for about 12 years, probably, this particular series. This is what Pastor Toby and Nancy, they have taught through all of the series several times since they became discipleship pastors. And so if you're interested, the forms are out at the information table or at the welcome booth. At the welcome booth. Forms are at the welcome booth. Sign your form there and leave it there. And next Sunday, we'll put a book with it. And you can pick it up, and we'll have someone from our congregation who is committed to studying with you and following up with you. And that can easily be done in the Hebrews Cafe, you know, on Sunday morning, on Wednesday night. It could easily be done. So how many people here, just sitting here, if you'd wave at me, have been through this book that are members of our congregation? Yeah. Yeah. So see, there's lots of people who can disciple you through this book. Very good book. So we're talking about the doctrines of baptism. And since this is a spiritual foundation and it's listed as plural baptism, it indicates that the Christian faith has more than one kind of baptism. And so in this book, it's outlined, there's four that we study in this book. Baptism in water, baptism into the body of Christ, baptism of fire, and baptism in the Holy Spirit. And today we're going to take a look at baptism in water, since we have baptism service next Sunday, which we are very excited about. For those of you who don't know, this is our baptismal tank right here. Last Sunday was really exciting to have a visitor, a guest here that came. I haven't seen her for a very, very long time, and her name is Jasmine. And we met Jasmine in our Love in Action program many, many years ago, probably in the 90s, when Pastor Leonard and I were street pastors down on Jefferson Street. She was one of the young children that was on that street. And her parents never graced the doors of this church, but she came many, many times. And over the years, I had wondered, what happened to Jasmine? And honestly, about 6 months ago, I really started praying for her. And just, you know, God, wherever she is, you know, renew her mind, draw her heart close to you. Because she came into the church, had a really, really rough teenage time because parents weren't in the church. But she was always one that would pick herself up and try to keep going and encourage people around her. And she's a little evangelist, get them into church. And wow, when I saw her last Sunday, it just did my heart good. Here she was. And she said, you know what, I'm getting baptized. She has two daughters that are older than what she was when we first met her. And she said, and they've never been baptized. And so they're getting baptized. And so she signed all up. We're going to follow up on her. Elder Cheryl, I'm sure, will follow up with her this week. So just be praying for those that signed up, because how many of you know when you make a commitment to move closer to the Lord, the enemy comes in. Have you ever experienced that? All of a sudden, what are they? The minions are everywhere to discourage you. And so I believe there's six people that are signed up for baptism next Sunday. And so just pray for them. Pray for them and strengthen them. And baptism is a wonderful, wonderful experience. And it's ordained by Jesus, by the church. And Jesus got was baptized, and we're supposed to be baptized. And I read a story about a little boy that got baptized. He was about 7, 8 years old, and he really wanted to get baptized. And so his parents led him, and he got baptized. And on the way home from church, he was sitting in the back seat, and he just kept crying and crying. And his parents said, "Honey, what is wrong? Why are you crying?" And he said, "Because," he said, "the pastor told me that now that I've been baptized, I have to live in a Christian home, and I want to live with you." Hallelujah. Baptism. We're baptized into Christ, and we're going to study that this morning. Let's go to Romans 6:4. The scripture says, "We were therefore buried with him through baptism into death in order that, just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too may live a new life." So our baptism identifies us with Jesus Christ. We go down in a watery grave. We go down in the water, we're buried, and we come back up. Down once, right? Elder James Duncan's going to be Duncan next Sunday morning. As far as I know, he's only dunking you once. I was reading this this little boy that got baptized. He said, "You know what? It's crazy. This man in this long gown kept putting me down under the water, and my parents were all excited taking pictures. He was trying to drown me." Oh, we're not going to try to drown you. We're just going to dunk you down, bring you up, because we're buried. It's a time of celebration. It's a sign of cleansing and forgiveness of sin. And it is also an act of faith and an act of obedience. And when we come up out of that water, we have a new life in Christ Jesus. So Mark 1:4 says, and this is about John the Baptist, who appeared in the wilderness preaching a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. Repent is the Greek word metanoia, which means a turnabout, a deliberate change of mind, resulting in a change of direction in thought and behavior. So it's a turnabout. We turn around, we make a change of mind, and we turn around. So then there's a change in our direction, and there's a change in our thought and our behavior. Paul said in Acts 26:20, he said, "I preached that they should repent and turn to God and prove their repentance by their deeds." So there's a turnabout. People are different after they repent. I was thinking about those turnabouts that they've been installing here in northern Indiana. And if you've traveled the country, you've probably been on a turnabout before. How many people like turnabouts? Yeah? Yeah, I had a client talking to me yesterday, and she said, "You know what? I just can't figure those turnabouts. I just can't figure them out." And so you can get a little confused when you get on them if you're not careful. I've been in cities where there's 6 lanes in turnabouts. Anybody else been in big cities where there's several lanes in the turnabout? So you really do have to know what you're doing and use your signals to let other people know what you're doing. That always helps if you're changing lanes. But I thought about this turnabout. It makes it easy to turn around and go in another direction. And that's what we do. It's not a hard thing. No, when we have new life in Christ, we can do a turnabout. Because he's the one that gives us the strength. He's the one that helps us do that turnabout. Amen? Have you ever said to someone or thought, "I am so glad they changed their mind about that"? Have you ever said that? Or have you ever said it to yourself? I am so glad I changed my mind about that. That turnabout thing. It's not difficult. Women are really good at changing their mind. Amen. That's right, Scott. We are good at it and we're proud of it. Amen. We can change our mind. Leonard will tell me, just tell me when you decide, because... because I'm tired of talking about it. But when there is a turnabout, there is a change in behavior. And you see it. Paul said, you're going to recognize that this person did a turnabout. And how exciting that people can do turnabouts. Let's go on. Jesus was baptized to fulfill all righteousness. Matthew 3:14 through 17 says, but John tried to deter him, saying, I need to be baptized by you, and do you come to me? Jesus replied, let it be so now. It is proper for us to do this to fulfill all righteousness. Then John the Baptist consented. As soon as Jesus was baptized, he went up out of the water. At that moment, heaven was opened, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and alighting on him, and a voice from heaven said, this is my Son, whom I love. With him I am well pleased. And from Larry Kreider's book, it says this, Christian baptism is an outward act of obedience by which the believer fulfills the inward righteousness he already has through faith in Christ's death and resurrection. Mark 16:16 says, whoever believes and is baptized will be saved. So believers are baptized after their belief and faith in Jesus Christ. We confess with our mouth, we believe in our heart, and then we are baptized. There is no place in the scripture where infant baptism is mentioned, because it's incapable of a baby to exercise their faith. And so here at River, we dedicate babies back to the Lord. But baptism is for those who become aware of and desire to be baptized. So if you were baptized as a baby, I encourage you to be baptized as an adult. Be baptized as an adult. I read a story about a little girl that was sitting in the front row, and she was with her parents, and she was watching a baby be baptized. And she asked her mom and dad, she said, why are they brainwashing that baby? We believe that baptism is an immersion into the water. And yes, your head still gets covered with water. Sometimes that's the argument. Well, if you just have to have your head covered with water, then why go all the way under? And this has been a debate for centuries through denominations. You know, one person thinks it should be this way, one should be it that way. But the Greek word for baptism means to immerse. So let's take a look at that. Acts 2:38 through 40 says, Peter replied, repent. And be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. And you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. The promise is for you and your children and for all who are far off, for all whom the Lord our God will call. With many other words, he warned them and he pleaded with them, save yourself from this corrupt generation. I believe baptism in this day and age is very, very important. Very important. We are in a corrupt generation. And everything that God has asked us to do, we should willingly do that as an act of faith and obedience. So let's go on. Baptize is the Greek word baptizo, which means to immerse. Simply stated, to baptize is to totally immerse an object in another substance and then bring it out again. Baptism. See, this was a, we always had a tank ready when we were growing up. There was always a tank ready. If you wanted to be baptized, you could be baptized right away. Did anybody else grow up in a church that always had the tank ready? Ready to take you under the water anytime somebody wanted to go. Hallelujah. So baptism was a big part of every service. Every service, it was offered. And Leonard oversaw the men and I oversaw the women for baptism, helping them, you know, get changed, and the church provided everything. As soon as you made that decision, you were down in the water. So our girls watch baptism several times, you know. And so then, you know, at home they would like to act that out. They'd like to baptize each other. Yeah. And you just never know. You know, you don't know what the story is because you're not there to see it. You just see the results of it. I think Lisa baptized Teresa. And she went down on the couch because they were both standing on the couch because they probably thought that would be safe. And Lisa must have had her back against the back of the couch because when Teresa went down, she was about maybe 18 months at the most, she bounced off the couch and right into the fish tank and cracked the fish tank. I just heard the screams and saw the fish tank. It started rescuing my fish, not knowing what I should do first, you know. And they were just too little to really have this story. I don't even know if they remember that experience. But, yeah, baptism was a big thing growing up. And we encourage you to be baptized by an elder of the church in the water. Hallelujah. Or in the ocean, in the pool, you know. We used to go to the creek because we didn't have... we had a baptism downtown. Pastor Leonard turned, we had a fountain in the lobby of the Cinema One building is what we owned. And he turned that fountain into a baptismal tank. And so we used to baptize people there. But when it was nice out, we'd go to the creek and baptize people up in the creek off of Head North. I don't know what creek that is. Christiana Creek up there. And we would baptize people. And then afterwards, you know, we've always had a pretty radical, wild group. Everybody get on the bridge and jump off and do cannonballs and swim for a while. So baptism is a time of celebration. As a matter of fact, Jasmine was talking about that last Sunday. Because she's like, where are we going to go to get baptized? Because she remembered as a little girl, everybody jumping off that bridge doing cannonballs. I think Elder Ron and Carol brought her in here and showed her that we have a baptismal tank right here. Makes it really convenient. So, baptized. Immersed in the water. Let's go on. Baptism. Identifies you with the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Romans 6, 4 and 6. We were therefore buried with him through baptism into death in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too live a new life. Verse 6. For we know that our old self was crucified with him so that the body ruled by sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves to sin. So water baptism is a physical act that should indelibly mark the mind of the person being baptized with the reality of his union with Christ. It marks our mind. It leaves an impression. When we come to the cross, we die to our old way of living so that we can have the new resurrected life that God has promised. Water baptism is a sign that we have died to self and the power of God's glory now, and with the power of God's glory now walk in a new life. And that's a quote from this book. And here's a story from the book that's really good. And this is what it says. Joe was a former gangster with the mafia who gave his life to Jesus. His life was permanently changed. A few weeks after he gave his life to the Lord, one of his mafia brothers called him on the phone and said, "Hey, is Joe there?" And Joe answered, he said, "No, Joe died." And he hung up the phone. The truth is, Joe had died. He was a brand new Joe and was living a brand new life. The old Joe was dead and a new Joe had come, and Jesus Christ now lived in him. Amen. And that's the way we are to see ourselves, as new creatures in Christ Jesus. We have new life. So the baptismal waters represent that burial ground. When we're buried with Christ in baptism, we're proclaiming to heaven, to earth, and to hell that the old you no longer exists. To be buried with Jesus means that your old self died to sin, just as Jesus died when he was made sin for us on the cross of Calvary. That's why we're immersed. It's a picture of being buried. Coming up out of the water signifies our being raised to new life in Christ. To be raised with Jesus means making him Lord of every area of our life, spirit, soul, and body. We've been bought with the blood of Jesus, and we belong to him. So every day we ask the Lord, "Lord, where do you want me to go? Lord, what is it you want me to say today? What is it that you want me to do today? Lord, not my will be done today, but your will be done. God, what do you have planned for me today? I know I got to go to work today, but I know there's more to life than work." Hallelujah. Because when I get to work, I usher in the presence of the Lord and I change the atmosphere. And Holy Spirit, you begin to work and move in people around me. And I want to be ready. I want to be ready because I belong to you, Lord. And I want to do your work in the earth. And so don't miss those opportunities that God sets up for us. We get so busy thinking, that sometimes we just miss the opportunity to reach out and encourage someone, even if it's just with a smile or a few kind words, or, "Hey, you're doing a good job. Thanks for helping me out on that." Some people just need to hear a few words of encouragement. There are so many discouraging things on the news. Every time you turn on the news, it's something else. You know, your heart goes out to people who are in countries where ISIS is, they're just ruthless. They are ruthless. They are not even, to me, their thinking and their mindset is so, it reminds me of the giants that were in the land when the children of Israel were here. They were ruthless. They just killed everybody. They just tear you apart and not even think twice about it, because they ate people. I haven't heard of ISIS eating people, but you know, you never know, because once the devil has a hold of people, they will do unthinkable acts. And so your heart goes out and you hear of these bombings and the terrorists and all of this that's coming up on the earth. But Jesus said that evil would wax worse and worse, and that these things would come. But we're to rejoice because we know that our hope is in Jesus Christ. We're to rejoice in the midst of all of the trials because we know that in the end, Jesus Christ will set up his kingdom, and the kingdom of God will become the kingdoms of this world. We know that. And so we're not going to give up. And we're not gonna back up, and we're not gonna shut up about the gospel of Jesus Christ and the saving grace that the Lord has given to us. We got good news to share with the world. Hallelujah. We've got good news of the gospel, and the world needs Jesus. The world needs Jesus. They really need to meet the real Jesus, not the one that they fabricated in their own mind and created a God that they wanted to serve or they hoped he would be like, but they need to meet the real Jesus. Amen? Amen. And so we are representatives of the Lord Jesus Christ. We are ambassadors of the kingdom of God. And we have been sent into the world with a message from the King, because our ruler rules over the heavens and the earth, and he's given us a message to share. And it's good news. It's good news. People need some good news. We need some good news. God came to give us life more abundantly. Satan came to steal, kill, and destroy, and he is on a war path in the earth today. But we know that God is in control. Amen. So we trust the Lord. We keep our focus on the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Because our God is mighty. Our God is mighty in battle. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. He is mighty in battle. And he goes before us. If God is for us, who can be against us? That's right. That should make you really rejoice. You know, because sometimes it feels like everything's going against you. You ever been there? Feels like everything's coming against you. But if God is for you, who can be against you? When you are walking in the will of God, there is nothing that can stop you. Only your own head and your own thoughts are going to stop you. You'll talk yourself out of it, won't you? That's what we do, and then we blame the devil. Hallelujah. When all the time it was just us. We all need some help. Help us, Lord, you know? We just got to say, help me, Lord. Help me, Lord. Help me, Lord. Get this thought out of my mind, because I know it's not from you. And I'm just thinking crazy. Just thinking crazy stuff. God will help us. You know, God is not willing that any should perish, but all should come to the saving grace of Jesus Christ and receive eternal life. You know, we've got to get that in our heart. He is not willing that any should perish. You know, that's kind of tough when you start thinking about how ISIS is just murdering women and children and just slaughtering Christians. But you know what? God is not willing that they should perish either. You know, they are a nation without a father. They were cursed by the sword. Back in the Old Testament, someday we'll study that. But they said they would live by the sword. That was the blessing that their father put upon them, their curse upon them. They'd live by the sword, and that's how they live. They live by the sword. They don't live by the blessing. They need the blessing of a father. They need a heavenly father. Their hearts are crying out for a father. They have gone wild because they do not have a father in their life. You don't have a father in your life, you're going to go wild. That's just the truth. Try to do away with fathers. Women think they don't need a man. I'm telling you, it takes a man and a woman to make a baby. Hello. Took two from the start. It takes two to raise the child. Lord, help us. Lord, help us. And let the men arise. Let the men arise. Take their place. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. We love it. We love how God designed everything. Because he made it perfect, didn't he? He made it perfect. We need one another. We need the body of Christ. You can't isolate yourself and think you're going to make it. That's a trick of the devil, to separate people from the body. Or separate people from houses of truth. People who are preaching the gospel. You can hear a seeker-friendly gospel. I hope that pulls people into the kingdom of God, but then I pray from that point on, Lord, you get them to the place where they can become workers in the kingdom of God. Lord, that they can begin to advance the kingdom of God. We need the army of the Lord to rise up all over this nation. You know, we've been sitting long enough on our blessed assurance. We need to get up and get going. Get going. Yeah, God's probably wanting to give us all a good kick in the seat of the pants. Come on, stop playing church. Stop playing church. and be the church, right? Yeah. You know, God is stirring something on the inside of us today to recognize the authority that he has given us in the kingdom of God. We have authority to function as his representatives here in the earth. Hallelujah. So we should walk as children of the king. Children of the king. Walk as children of the king. With confidence. You know, when you see someone and you pray for them, it's not your responsibility to cause that prayer to be answered. Is that right? It is our responsibility to pray and let God be God. Because God begins to move heaven and earth to help that person. He's just waiting for someone in the church to pray. Come on, he's just waiting for someone in the body of Christ to lay hands on another person. Come on, there's a transference of the power of God when we just touch someone. We just lay our hand on them. Lord, we thank you. Lord, just bless him today. You know, it doesn't have to be huge, but God, bless them today. Bless them today. Release a blessing. Everyone's cursing everybody else. So much competition in the United States among people. There's no place for competition in the Church of Jesus Christ. There's no place for prejudice in the Church of Jesus Christ. When we come into the kingdom of God, we're all in the church race. Everything else just doesn't matter that much anymore. Because we're one body, one race, one mind by one spirit, and we're all baptized and come into the kingdom of God the same way. Born of the water and born of the spirit of the living God. Hallelujah. I'm excited this morning. I'm excited about baptism next week. Woo! Glory. Glory to God. That's right. I'm excited about baptism next week. I love to see people go down in that water. You know, I do. I love to see them go down. Some of you need to hold a little longer than others, but. I used to help Pastor Leonard, and he would baptize. And it's always interesting how people come up out of that water. But you know, you can come up out of that water speaking in tongues. And I believe that's how God designed it to be. It's to come up out of that water, out of that watery grave with the resurrection power of Jesus Christ, not only baptized in the water, but baptized in the Holy Spirit. And we have a good Holy Ghost time when people come up out of that water and begin to speak in an unknown tongue. Because they begin to speak the language of the kingdom. We come into a new place. We're in a new kingdom. We may not understand all of it, but we have faith in what is not seen. Is that right? We have faith in that. And we begin to pray in an unknown tongue. Because that is how God designed it. Someday, we're all going to be speaking the same language. It's our heavenly language. And I've shared this before, but whether we baptize people in the Holy Spirit in China or Taiwan or India or Korea, it all sounds the same. They got a little bit different accent, but it all sounds the same. And Bishop said that's because it's the language of the kingdom. So do I speak a second language? Absolutely, I do. Do you ever pray for someone? They go, what? What was that? What is that? I think Tony's boss asked him that. He prayed for her and he was praying in the spirit and she's like, ooh, what was that? It's my language from my kingdom. Hallelujah. You want some of it? Thank you, Jesus. All right, we better finish this up. We're having too much fun. Baptism in the water illustrates the New Testament circumcision. So let's take a look at that. Just a couple more things on baptism that I felt the Spirit of the Lord wanted us to know. We're to know this doctrine of baptism. We're to know what it does in our life. We should be able to explain it to other people, right? We're baptized of the water. We're baptized of the Spirit of God. So here we go. Colossians 2, 11 and 12. In him, you were also circumcised with a circumcision not performed by human hands. Your whole self, ruled by the flesh, was put off when you were circumcised by Christ. Having been buried with him in baptism, in which you were also raised with him through your faith in the working of God who raised him from the dead. So the old nature says, I want to do what I want to do when I want to do it. Is that right? Symbolically, when we go down in the water, our old flesh is circumcised. Not with human hands, but with the hand of God. Everyone's flesh must be circumcised by the hand of God. And that happens when we go down in the water. So it's a New Testament circumcision. Romans 6:14 says, for sin shall not be your master. Another story from the book, which this was a good story too. I once read about a man who had a very mean landlord who was always causing problems. One day the landlord sold the property to a new landlord, and he was a wonderful man. And sometime later, the first landlord, the mean one, came back and demanded that the tenant pay him. The tenant said, what do you mean? You don't own this property anymore. He said, you go talk to the new landlord. So when your old landlord, the devil, comes and tries to tell you that you are still under bondage to the old habits of the past by lying, criticism, lust, hatred, anger, drugs, alcohol, pornography, or whatever, you can tell the devil, you have a new landlord, and his name is Jesus, and you tell the devil, you go talk to Jesus. For sin shall not be your master. It is no longer our master. When we go down in that watery grave and we come up in a newness of life, and the old has passed away. It is cut away from us, and all things become new. And then we begin to walk with God's help and God's grace and God's authority to tell the devil, go talk to Jesus. Hallelujah. Go talk to Jesus. I'm not talking to you. Don't talk to the devil. Don't entertain him. Don't entertain him. Don't entertain those thoughts. Just get them out. Get them out in Jesus' name. So baptism in water shows we are obeying God. And this is our last point. 1 Peter 3:21 and 22 says, and this water symbolizes baptism that now saves you also. And it's not the removal of dirt from the body, but the pledge of a clear conscience towards God. Think of that. A clear conscience towards God when we are baptized. And then you know what? God continues to sprinkle our conscience with the blood of Jesus. When we repent of our sins and we, come on, we're going to sin again. Is that right? Not purposely. Sin is not our master anymore, but sometimes you just mess up. Is that right? Sometimes we just mess up. And so we can immediately repent. And God's blood, he sprinkles our conscience with the blood of Jesus and cleanses us once again. So we can walk in that freedom and feel clean. Y'all know when you're clean inside and when you're not, right? You know, you can get as many showers as you want, but you're still going to feel the crud on the inside of your soul. You know, have you ever used that word, I just feel cruddy? When you're feeling cruddy, you need the blood of Jesus just to wash and cleanse and make us whole again. And that's what he does for us. Water baptisms symbolize a spiritual cleansing. And it is the cleansing of the heart. It shows that we are living with a clear conscience, and it brings tremendous freedom. Oh, it's so wonderful to be at peace with God. Isn't that wonderful? That is the peace that passes understanding. We're not going to find that peace in this world, not amongst family, not amongst the world, but we have that peace that can center us and calm us and keep us in the midst of any storm that we're going through, because we have peace with God. Peace that passes understanding. You know, peace is a tremendous testimony to the world around us. God's peace. Walk in peace. Hallelujah. So I'm going to ask praise team if they're come on up. We're going to sing a closing song. So be baptized in the water. If you have never been baptized in water, you can sign up today. If you want the free New Testament baptism study book, sign the agreement at the Welcome Center, and you will be able to pick your book up next Sunday, and we will have an accountability partner for you, someone you can, or a couple people you could contact. So let's all stand this morning. Father, we thank you, Lord, that you're stirring in our hearts today. Father, that you are showing yourself today into our lives, into our hearts, God. We thank you for your tremendous presence today. Lord, as we sing this song, God, we are reminded that you are worthy. You are the worthy one, God.